Action Park Media.
Welcome to Victory, the podcast. I'm Doug L.
Kevin Dillon.
Kevin Connolly here, hanging on by a thread, recovering.
You had a rough weekend.
I did have a rough weekend, yeah.
So your daughter was ill.
Well, I think it was one of those things where, like, when one person in the family goes down, everybody goes down. Mm. So, yeah, it was rough 48
Did you
hours.
Have a fever?
I did have a small fever, but, Jesus, you know, Christ. More of a...
So the baby had a 103?
Yeah, baby had a fever. You know, moms are...
One-year-olds could run hot, though.
That's what I was trying to say, but yeah. I guess it's that thing of it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yep.
All those things. And
so all night at Cedars?
All night at Cedars, bro.
And all morning into the morning?
And Cedars is a weird place. It's weird.
Yeah.
There's people, they're trying to kick people out. This is on Sunday night, and they're trying to kick people out of the emergency room. Security guards gathering around guys like, hey, man, you got to go. You got to go. Like, people don't.
Really do not want to go to the emergency room unless it's a life and death, because it's a nightmare. You sit there for hours, and it costs a fortune, by the way. And
there's a big old sign that says, it is not based on wait time. It is based on seriousness and condition. And if your baby has
a fever, remember when I broke my wrist on the set? We went to the emergency room at Cedars, and I was sitting there with my arm looked like an L. It was totally jacked up. Right. People couldn't even look at it. They were like, he comes in first. Get him in here.
Oh.
People were getting sick looking at my arm.
And by the way, that was
S-shaped.
We've talked about it before, but some people don't remember. That was my birthday. And Connolly called me. We decided to play basketball on uneven, extremely uneven
giant pavers.
Yeah.
Giant pavers.
And Dylan went down on, what was there?
We didn't decide to play.
Right. I was doing a layup. And Adrian kind of got underneath me a little bit, and I landed on his foot.
So you think it was flagrant or what?
No, it wasn't really his fault, but he...
But it's always the guy that really doesn't know.
He doesn't play basketball.
The guy that doesn't know how to play is the guy that gets you hurt.
Flagrant one.
My foot landed on top of his foot, and then I just put my arm down, and it went in between the pavers.
Right.
Well, actually, I had left and went home to celebrate my birthday, and Connolly calls me. And, you know, Connolly's always got, he was TMZ before TMZ. Existed.
I really thought you were down for the count.
Connolly said it's over.
I was more worried about you because I looked over at Connolly, looked green, man.
He was sad.
No, I wasn't. I had a unique angle. Oh. I was on the other side. I saw a different thing than everybody else saw.
You saw Dylan's bone.
I just knew. I just knew. I saw the look on Dylan's face. I heard it. I saw it. Yeah, man, I got queasy.
Well,
it was gnarly.
Connolly called me
like
and said,
happy
birthday, the show's over.
Yeah, I said, we're done for a while. We're done for a while.
No, you really thought it was forever. You weren't even
I stuck my broken arm in the fountain, but it was cold water. And I was like, get a van up here right now.
You toughed it out, though. Who would you say held on better from their break during production? Connolly on the movie or you during this scene? Who toughened it out more?
I think we both did, man. I did a photo shoot the day after surgery.
I remember. By the way, for Vanity Fair or something.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The cover of Vanity Fair.
What did you do?
Dylan's and mine were a little bit different because I think Dylan's was, I don't know, there was less people with Dylan. I think there were so many people in that shot that I was able to kind of...
But we didn't know it was broken that second day, right?
No, we didn't know it was broken for a few days. I mean, I knew it was broken.
I'm still remembering the Rob Gronkowski tartled with Kevin, and the reason that comes up, and we'll explain what tartled is like.
Teradol.
Was it Teradol?
Is that the
Tartle?
It sounds like you're saying turtle. What are you saying?
Tartle is a drug they'll give football players or whatever. But apparently,
it's like the big shot. You get when you are
Connolly,
hurt and you got to go out for the second half or whatever.
Connolly broke his leg, Rob Gronkowski was there, and Connolly had a sex scene coming up. He said, "We should give you a shot of Tartle."
No, I was joking with him because I knew I had that scene after lunch, and I was like, "Rob, I got to stay in the game. I got a big sex scene after lunch. What do I do? What's the shot?" He's like, "Bro, you don't want to take a shot if you're gonna have sex." Hate to break it to you, Rob. We don't really have sex. It's actually just make believe. What I really want to do is not have my eyes filled up with tears.
But it's weird that came up yesterday because I mean, my life is so surreal right now. But I was taking a a birthing labor class to prepare for the birth of my child.
Oh, is that what you said, Lamaze?
Yeah. No, it's not Lamaze really anymore, I guess.
Doug said, I thought you were talking about llamas. I'm like, Doug's like,
I got llamas.
Doug said, I got llamas. I'm like, llamas? Question mark. He never responded, but Lamaze.
Yeah. I mean, well, I called you and you didn't answer. So. But anyway, birthing class going on. And
It's the breathing thing? Like,
it wasn't really the breathing thing. It's because that is like Lamaze. This is more like all of the things that I'm supposed to do.
What are your duties? By the way, are you having
the baby at home?
No.
Okay.
No.
By the way, just before, but just so everybody listening, we are going to get the season 4, episode 6, the Wee Ho Ho, which has got some great storylines.
Which we made a huge mistake too, because Louis Lombardi, who's in this episode, and we're going to get on next week. He's committed.
He would be great.
All right, great.
He will come in next week. He will come in today, but we don't really plan in advance. But
we do not.
I needed to talk about something.
But tell me about the birthing class. I'm curious. So what are your duties?
My duties are like holding her leg and massaging her. Most of them are comforting.
Are there like key terms that you're supposed to use? Do they talk to you about your attitude?
Yeah, my attitude is definitely important. You know, I have to be
might
positive.
Might be something worth mentioning.
And
Doug,
I'm also, I'm not a blood person. And obviously I've been through this twice before. And as I recall, I looked out the window the entire time because I don't know. Dylan probably retrieved his children.
I was going to say, Dylan's like, step aside, Doc. I got this.
I did cut the cord.
I cut the cord too.
Of course, I got to do that. I was saving the cord blood too. So I went to cut it down as low as possible too. To save.
Were you saving it for
blood.
Ceremonial things? Or
You never know when you need it.
Because
it's frozen and you know, if she needs it or even
I've
if
done
I need
some
it.
Research. Did you save it, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Because 20 years ago, they talked about it. And honestly, there haven't been that many advances since 20 years ago. And they kind of still say, well, maybe if this or that happens. So it's a little. I'm glad you guys did it, but it's a little overkill and they really haven't figured anything out. But I cut the cord. But here's what I wanted to know.
I think I know where you're going with this. I'm sure that Dylan is going to be with me on this one, but let him have it, Doug.
Okay. The world has clearly changed because
listen to this.
Even 21 years ago when I had my son, Lucas, who played Ari's son on the show.
Did you sleep in the hospital?
Did I?
Yeah.
You can. I mean, there's a bed for...
By the way, it's a different world.
I did. I think I just stayed up the whole way.
Okay, so let's be clear.
Why? Did you?
I stayed at the hospital. Doug's saying he's not sleeping over.
No.
Yeah, maybe I did. I remember them. They were like, this is the father's bed.
It's a very uncomfortable.
So it's a tiny little bed.
Right. I had a little chair.
And I might have the first time around.
I've been shamed in a way. 21 years ago, first of all, I had to go to work the next day. I had two dogs in the house that needed to be taken care of. But when I said to Sarah, I thought she was kidding because she said, well, obviously, you know, you'll sleep in the hospital. I'm like, why would I sleep?
Oh, I got you.
So she starts
you
calling.
You got to stay at the hospital, Dad.
Every one of her friends.
Am I right?
Now, these are all younger people. So they've had kids in like the last 5 years where we understand the world is a different place.
Nobody called me a simp.
nobody goes to work anymore. Nobody like has anything to do. So all of Sarah's friends. Of course, they sleep in the hospital for like a month. I don't know.
Dude, I slept in the hospital for 2 nights.
Okay. What did you prove? You exhausted yourself? It's not a bed. They don't give you a bed.
No, you know, it's like a weird chair. It's not even a comfortable chair. Yeah. It's a miserable chair. In fact, I said, you guys could do a little bit better, like a recliner.
Yeah.
Get out of an old school recliner, but I basically slept in a chair.
I wish I had some time that I knew about this because I would have arranged for some type of proper bed to be in
there.
You
could probably still get a suite. I wish I would have done that. I didn't think about it. Honestly.
I just didn't even contemplate that I would even
You can get a suite?
This.
I think you can. It might be too late for you. I don't know.
A fitter, happier you is worth fighting for. Getting stronger is hard work, but that doesn't mean it can't be fun. Fight Camp blurs the line between fitness and gaming. Are you looking for one of the most exhilarating and effective forms of home fitness? Fight Camp is it. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers that meet you on your time. Live punch stats motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knock out achievements or go head-to-head against the rivals from across the country or across the living room. Learn the basics and sharpen your skills over time through tailored paths. These are safe. These Fight Camp fights are safe. Workouts, you're not getting hit back in the face. You're led by trainers with over 90 years of combined training experience. They'll break down every single punch and they'll ensure you use proper form so you can learn to box safely. This is fun as hell. Not only do these workouts maximize efficiency with high intensity interval training, but they're also a really good time. Before long, you'll forget you're even working out. These are full body workouts. Boxing combined
combined with plyometric workouts bring the best of both cardio and strength training into one, giving you an intense full body workout. We promise you will be sore. Join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home with Fight Camp. You can get started with Fight Camp for as low as $9 a month by going to fightcamp.com/victory. Go to fightcamp.com/victory to learn more.
Aren't we trying to prepare me to be healthy when the baby gets home? Like, I think this whole thing is ridiculous. But again, it is shows how much the world has changed.
So you're telling me if Sarah has the baby at 1:07 a.m.
Call me when you're closer. I'll be back.
Yeah, you're going to say, all right, well, all safe and sound here. I'm heading out. I'll see you in the morning.
I thought I'd go to Jonah's Kitchen, get a couple
Call
of tacos.
Call me when we have a baby.
No, obviously I plan to be there until everything is okay.
Right, and but then, you're not going to sleep unnecessarily.
Well, now there's no option. I've been shamed so badly that I would be thoroughly humiliated.
Simp.
So I will be staying as long as I have to.
What happened? It was just a long labor.
It was a long labor, and then the baby came at 2:02 a.m. So at that point, yeah, I slept there, and then you have the baby, and then you want to, you know, they used to take the baby to however many years ago. Now you don't leave the baby. They don't, you know, it used to be where you looked at the baby through the window. Now they set the baby up in your room.
Oh, they do.
You're never without the baby.
So no one's taking the baby.
No one's taking the baby. No one is taking the baby.
I know they put the name on your wrist and
right.
all that.
The security is pretty intense.
By the way, no one was taking Connelly's baby. They knew it was Connelly's baby. He's got a Colombian wife, and somehow that kid has the same skin color as Kevin.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like
she looks strong.
She looks Irish.
No,
correct?
She, you know, people say that, but when you look at her, you know.
She'll tan better than
she
you.
Will. She will.
She will.
Yeah, she will. So you're
everyone will.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out for you, Doug. I'm curious.
But this birthing class was, 3.5 hours at my house, and you know it's a whole industry.
Ooh, you had a private birthing class.
Oh, is that embarrassing? Now I gave it away. Privilege? Am I privileged? But,
must be nice.
It was.
Must be nice.
Why you went to like a? I mean,
I got to be honest. I did not prepare nearly enough. I was from that kind of train of thought. Like, come on, they've been giving birth to kids in caves for thousands of years. That was sort of my thought. I wish I would have been a little bit more prepared, even with stuff like getting a bed in the for me to lay down in, because I was in a chair for 3 days.
They didn't have a bed.
Why were you in the hospital for 3 days?
Well, because her labor was, you know, 28 hours or whatever, and then she gave birth at 2:02.
There wasn't a father's room where you could lay down?
No, it was like a regular room. It was a chair, like an uncomfortable chair.
I got stuck in Aspen with COVID for 5 days and stuck in a beautiful hotel, and that was torture. So if I have to be stuck at Cedar Sinai, first of all, you don't want to be in hospitals.
You're going to leave.
Oh, I'm going to leave.
You're going to leave for
sure. I'm going to leave. I'm a man of 54 years old. I cannot, I'm not a 21-year-old.
What am I, 21? I'm 40. I was 46. Well,
what am I not
She's
working?
She's going to be in the hospital for 3 days at least, right, Sarah?
I think sometimes you go home the next day.
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends.
Okay.
Sarah. But I will tell you, and this is even going back to we talked about the emergency room. This shit is all a scam, bro. Like they charge you so much money to stay in the hospital.
Every night
that
is.
I literally said, and by the way, at this point, I'm hallucinating because I haven't slept in 3 days. And they're like, oh, we're going to stay one more night. I said, no.
Yeah.
No.
Your insurance covers it, though.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Because somehow
there's a deductible or something.
Whatever. It's still, they charge a lot of money. And they're not rushing you out of there, bro. Because they're charging you $10,000.
Let me tell you something right now. I said,
start getting this paperwork ready. We are out.
I know today. Sarah and her mother are listening. This is going to be like Godfather 1 when Michael shows up and says that Don, we're moving now. So I'm not staying there for 3 nights. I mean,
you're
going
to be out of there. But you know,
the thing
she's
is, though, you have to
rest.
Worry. You kind of want that baby there for the first 3 nights. You remember what happened with my daughter?
Yeah.
I mean, she, I think it was SIDS is what was getting her, you know? And if she wasn't at Cedars, remember I was on the set. You guys were like, you got to come. Oh, you got to work the next day.
I remember.
All right. Well, God forbid.
You know what?
And
you know
I was doing
funny?
that scene with
Eddie Burns. Downtown
LA. And
I
got a call. Yeah. And Jane's like, get over here. She stopped breathing. Oh, they ripped her out of my arms. She was she was blue.
Yeah.
All right. Well, God.
I have a whole new
keeping that baby there for a couple days if you can.
I have a whole new appreciation for all that stuff now. Now I go like. It's just, it's insane. So, you know, it's all going to be
obviously,
fine.
Obviously, God forbid there's a complication. That's a whole different issue. But my belief is stay away and get out of a hospital as quickly as you can. There's nothing but infection. And I'm serious. There's nothing,
I hear you. I
there's
hear you.
Nothing
but
good.
For the baby, though, you got to really
obviously,
keep an eye on that.
Until the doctor says we're good to go. I'm not leaving.
Yeah, but I'm saying they will not tell you that is my point. They will keep you there, especially somebody like you. They get to squeeze an extra couple nights out of you, bro. Yeah. They will try. You're going to have to say, we're going home. They'll keep you there for 2 weeks. They don't give a shit.
Yeah. I'm going to pull cords out of Sarah and go, we're walking out. And it's like, why is that ill?
pull cords.
Whatever. You know,
I'm going to rip that IV out of your arm.
I was so tired.
Jailbreak.
I was so tired by the time that Zulai gave birth that all I remember is them saying, don't cut the cord till after 2 minutes.
You cut it early?
No. But I was like, the only thing I was thinking was like, well, I'm going to wait 3 minutes. I don't know. I just was like, I was
the
like,
blood rushes back.
For whatever reason, you want to keep, you don't want to cut that cord.
I think
for,
the
there was
blood,
like some,
yeah, those yeah. stem cells rush back into the
whatever
cord.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. I got to tell you, it's so crazy because I remember.
By the way, how bored is the Victory audience?
I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I remember it like it was yesterday. Lucas, I saw his face. Lucas, who played Jonah.
It was the day of the Mike Mussina perfect game gone wrong.
Oh, my God. You know, Mike Mussina had a perfect game till
that was the day Lucas was born.
Wow. And I was holding Lucas going, you may never see this again. And then they broke it up. But
I was doing that with Kennedy. We were watching Islander playoff games. I'm like, listen, this is your first heartbreaking overtime loss against the Boston Bruins.
And there will be many.
Yeah.
But I was holding Lucas and he came out. And honestly, it's a life altering moment.
Yeah.
I mean, for both of my kids when they were born, I was holding him and it doesn't say it's like invasion of the body snatchers.
Have you guys had, are you going to live stream the birth? Doug is going to go live on Instagram for the birth.
We should do it. We should all be there. Victory. We'll do a whole victory podcast.
Should we do a podcast?
So, Sarah, how are you feeling?
By the way, this sicko would do it in a heartbeat if we were able to get
Sarah might even let us go for that. That might be cool.
I got to tell you, I know we've talked about Game of Thrones.
I'm serious. Are you going to be shooting and videoing?
I am sure the hospital does not allow live streaming from the hospital.
I was shooting. Theoretically, I could have been live streaming.
You shot the birth?
Of course I shot the birth.
No, I'm not. No, Sarah doesn't.
Of course you are going to be filming, dude. You're going to have a 3-camera setup in there. What are you talking about?
You know what? I wonder.
He's going to have stock tip room. Dave shooting a wide shot.
I wonder if Perkle would light this thing. I mean, it would be awesome.
We can't bring you into this room. She needs to be side lit. We got to bring her into this room.
Let's get Mylod to direct.
Perkle needs to do not let that baby out yet. I need another hour.
Exactly. All right. So, season 4, episode 6, The Wee Ho Ho.
Great episode.
Mark Mylod, right? Did Mylod direct?
Mylod again, whenever he directs, it's great.
Dylan brought up a good point. You almost recognize a Mylod episode right at
the
top.
Yes,
right?
Julian Farino and Mylod, both of those guys.
Right. Yeah. You know what I wanted to say, last thing before we get into the episode, last thing about babies, but it does tie back to Entourage, so everybody relax. I'm fortunate enough to have very nice people and friends around us, and Kennedy gets these presents. Today, I'm walking out of the house, and I'm still, because I was a little under the weather, even though I'm better and I'm not contagious, don't worry.
Better not.
Keeping my distance from...
Did you test?
I did. No COVID. keeping my distance from Kennedy. Herpes? But as I'm walking out, Kennedy is sitting on the couch, and she's wearing a sweatshirt that says, Ari Gold is my agent.
Someone got that?
And I said,
where did that
come from? Where did the sweatshirt come from? She's like, I don't know. Somebody got it. So we're trying to figure out who it was, because it was nice.
Whoever that was, is a damn fine
gift. That'd be good merch for us. We should start selling that shirt.
No kidding. Anyway.
Merch. Do we sell any merch anymore?
We got.
I don't know. I financed
we
got to
step up the merch a little bit.
I'm still waiting for my money back. But anyway, it's coming. That's a whole other.
Working it off with Ramble On. Mylod is just a shooter. That's all there is to it.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
I still think the writing stance is strong.
I agree.
It was so well written. Great episode.
This is a three-hander, right? So you got Vince and E, you got Drama and Turtle, and then you got Ari and Lloyd. And what may be seemingly a kind of the B storyline or C storyline is, I think, why the episode is called The Wee Ho Ho.
I don't know. What does that mean? We ho
I think
ho.
It's saying that Lloyd cheats.
Yeah.
Lloyd cheats on Tom.
Lloyd's the hoe. Okay.
Lloyd is the hoe.
Yeah.
Do you think that storyline is over the top?
I certainly don't think the real Ari Emanuel is chasing his assistant's boyfriend around town to solve their relationship.
You
problems.
Know what? It is kind of over the top, but the way it was played and the way it was directed was great.
Yeah, written. But I think that
it was written.
Ari loves Lloyd.
No, but what you really see is that is the key to it.
Piven killed it.
By the way, Connolly's fucking. I mean, Sarah's gonna kill me for being in a room
with
this
never,
guy.
Right? I would never. Yeah.
You know, he looks paler than even at birth.
I feel pale. Yeah, I actually feel
Jesus
pale.
Christ.
What did Billy Wallace, and I tried to get that pale motherfucker on the phone last night, and I couldn't.
Yeah, he said that. Another hit of Conley. But the story with Ari really shows exactly what we've talked about a lot on this show. He really cares about Lloyd. He makes stupid jokes, and he's got a big mouth, but none of them are real because he really will do anything for the guy. And
right.
And that's really more important than actions speak louder than words.
Rex, right? And Lloyd crush this. Rex, yeah. And Lloyd and Ari. Oh, Rex and Jeremy.
By the way,
crush
this guy is a fucking mess right now.
No, I mean, I'm not. But I wanted to talk. I wanted to bring this up because I had never heard of this. I mean, we shot this episode however many years ago. So obviously the storyline is Lloyd is upset because his boyfriend Tom broke up with him. Ari goes to see Tom at Foot Locker, and Tom is like a seemingly super straight, good-looking dude. Ari does his thing and basically lies to Tom and says, "No, he was with me," and he helps get them back together. But can we talk about the opening shot of the scene in Foot Locker?
The line.
The girl.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hey, you're a handsome guy. You can get girls.
You're a handsome guy. You can get girls.
That line he says, which, you know.
Well, there's a few of them. There's a couple.
Guys, our favorite food coma holiday is coming up, and you want to be sure you don't mess up that centerpiece turkey. We found the perfect tool to make sure your food comes out perfectly juicy, not that overcooked bird that needs to be drenched in gravy. Dylan often drenches his birds in gravy. Meter is a sleek Bluetooth meat thermometer that keeps an eye on your food and lets you know when it's ready to come out of the oven or off the grill. It'll give you a countdown for the cook so you can keep watching the big game while Meter watches your food. Spend the time with your loved ones. Kick back with your crew. Have a beer and nail that Thanksgiving bird. Super simple, super easy, and perfect results. I can tell you a sad story about my Thanksgiving. 20 people coming over. The bird was horrible. They all left. It was embarrassing, humiliating. That will not happen with the Meter Bluetooth meat thermometer that keeps an eye on your food and lets you know when it's ready to come out of the oven or off the grill. It can be used in a grill, smoker, oven, sous vide, cooking in a fryer, rotisserie, literally anywhere. You can use it in your car if you can get it hot enough. It comes with cloud service. You can have limitless range, so you can still monitor the cook while watching TV, running to the store, or playing pickleball. Monitor your turkey, steaks, prime ribs, and chicken in the app, so this way you can relax and pretend you're doing a whole lot more. This is perfect cooking tool for your holiday cooking. Get a free pair of heat-proof gloves with any Meter purchase. Go to Meter.com, add the barbecue oven mitts to your Meter purchase, and use Victory at checkout. Thanksgiving is coming up. Cook your meal to perfection and get your free cooking gloves at Meter.com with code VICTORY. Go to Meter.com and add your barbecue oven mitts to your Meter purchase and use code VICTORY at checkout.
But the girl, which somebody pointed out online last night.
Somebody pointed
it out, and I don't even think they know we were going to talk about this episode today.
Maybe they must have.
I had no idea.
I've never heard that.
Oh, I've seen it a bunch of times. So she was wearing no underwear, which has absolutely nothing to do with anyone but herself. That was her choice.
Yeah. So weird.
And that, I got to tell you, I don't know who operated this episode, but that's the only person who could have spotted it on the set.
Todd Dose Reese.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so weird. Is it possible that it just slipped through the cracks? I mean,
I didn't notice it. I mean,
that was a bad choice of words. That's a bad choice of words.
What a child. What a child. Look at Dylan.
I caught that late.
That's the DayQuil talk. I didn't even do that on purpose. Right.
I don't know, but.
Listen. If you aren't catching the drift here, essentially at the very beginning of the shot, there's like a basic instinct shot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
That this girl did by herself.
She's trying on shoes and she crosses her legs and there it is.
She uncrosses.
Whatever she did, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
But the basic instinct, you didn't actually see anything. This one, you do.
What do you mean? I thought you...
You really don't see anything.
No?
I don't know. I don't think you can.
Well, anyway...
I was going slow motion, bro.
Well, I was going to say, we didn't sound like we paused it on it, but you said it. I mean, I took your word for it, so she had no underwear? She had no underwear?
We did a rewind.
We did a rewind, but we didn't do a pause. You got to understand, you think about all the people this has to get through. Is what I'm saying. Because truthfully, we do other shots. If somebody, the right person would have caught that, they would have cut it.
Yeah, but
that's not like side boob or something.
I never heard about this until an hour ago.
Me too.
A half hour ago.
I got to tell you, I definitely don't remember it ever being discussed, but I have to think in the editing room, I'm not sure there was any way to cut it because it's a oneer. That goes right into the scene.
Yeah, but you could have started the shot a half a second later. I mean, there is, I believe... Think about how many people that would have had to get through. It would have to get through everybody that was on the set. Then it has to get through editorial. Then it goes gets through HBO.
Well, I would think if anyone saw it, it would probably be the editors. But
yeah, right. But also it is a, you know, it's an HBO show, and I, unless I'm wrong, it's the only full frontal of a man or woman ever on the show. Unless was Sasha? Was Sasha?
I think Sasha was frontal, but not like that. I mean, that was almost like a close up. I don't know. It was strange. I think that was just one of those things that slipped through the cracks. And
there you go again. Jesus there Christ. He goes again.
I guess my question is, this would be curious when that aired on Spike. That's how you find out.
Where is Spike? Does that exist even anymore?
We syndicated Spike TV. If that aired on Spike TV,
slipped through the cracks again.
Colin, do you remember the Spike thing? Do you remember this?
What about it?
At the movie, at the season 8 premiere. Do you remember this?
No.
All right. So we syndicated the show, which is everyone's dream when you make a half hour show. You syndicate
Spike
it.
TV.
You get wildly wealthy, although it's not the same as like doing Seinfeld and it's Friends. Syndicating onto
right.
CBS.
They hadn't said it was our last season yet, though, right? So we still didn't know. We knew that syndication is good, but it's probably is bad for the show.
I don't know if it became
our last season because as soon as we got syndicated.
No, I don't think it. I don't think that any affect HBO. I think it's just money. I think it's just extra money for them that they don't expect because very few half hour single cameras get syndicated. Very few. But we syndicated. But this guy comes up to me at the Natural History World Museum.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. A big one. Yeah.
Museum of Natural History, New York City.
He says, "Do you mind taking a picture with me?" You know, I'm like, "Sure." And like, while we're about to take the picture, while I'm smiling, great night, season 8 premiere, which was such a phenomenal night. And the guy goes, because our syndication, apparently we didn't do well. Apparently we, like, people didn't watch. Like, I have anything to do with that. And Sex in the City, by the way.
Well, we didn't cover up the curse words. Yeah. You know what? When we were looping, we didn't cover them up. Look, so they had to just bleep them out or...
The show wasn't meant to be edited. It just wasn't. And sometimes it worked. Sex in the City did not work until the movie came out. And then it re-syndicated, and then it was kind of a big hit. But we didn't work. But the guy's taking this picture with me. I got my kids there. I got everybody there. And he, like, while the camera's, like, about to snap, he goes, "Thanks a lot for the syndication. I got fired over that." That's what he said to me. And weren't you there? I thought you jumped into this frame because I almost had a fight with the guy, like,
so
right
he,
there.
He took the photo and then said that.
No, while the photo's being taken, like, as I'm smiling, and I was like, "Go fuck yourself. I have nothing to do with any of it. I didn't try to syndicate."
So we had been on Spike TV before we did season 8?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It did not, people did not watch it, but I don't even know what Spike TV is.
By the way, I don't even know if Spike TV is still around.
It's weird to watch it on Spike when you can still see it on HBO, right? I mean, you can still see those episodes uncut.
It's like
watching Scarface.
Exactly.
On TBS.
There's no excuse about it. The
all
reality
the curse words
is,
are cut out.
They bought it. I didn't buy it. I'm glad I got
well,
some money
out of it.
Well,
certainly not your problem.
No, right. But it was an extremely rude thing for the guy to do on that night. Like, I cost him his job. You're a loser. That's why you lost your job.
So. That's it. Your fault. All right. Wow. Louis Lombardi. Cousin Ronnie.
Louis Lombardi, star
now, who's Turtles' cousin?
Turtles' cousin, and Louis Lombardi, I believe Rob Weiss discovered Louis Lombardi, and he was in Amongst Friends.
He does a lot of shit.
Wow.
He does a lot of shit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he works a lot.
Tons of stuff, and you've worked with him before, too. Were you in the same season of 24, or was that a different season? I don't remember. But
I didn't have anything with him, though.
Yeah, so it might have
been. I was all
But anyway, Louis is phenomenal. You've seen him in 8 million movies. Good friend who is going to come on the podcast next week. He would have been here today if we prepped it all, but we didn't.
Sorry for getting sick.
You would have fucked it up anyway.
Yeah,
let's call it like it is.
That's for sure. All right. So cousin Ronnie calls Turtle. And by the way, we have these guys from our old neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right. That like the show pops.
Yeah. Always got a way to make a dime.
And they got a thing like, yeah, you come in, do this and that. But he's got this idea to, he catches word that Sandy Koufax is going to, that Sandy
he's
Koufax
on his way
is
out.
Sick. He sees white coats coming and going. He thinks Sandy Koufax is in hospice.
Sandy Koufax was never a guy in the punching if he watched Entourage and going, how did I end up in this? And it really is a, you know, it's kind of a bizarrely dark story.
It
for
is.
Us.
I felt right. bad for Sandy if he heard about it.
Even though it's totally not true and whatever, but.
Right. Like, they get the heads up that he's not doing well. So buy his jersey low. And then when he dies, based on my inside information, it'll be worth more.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
and Drama's kind of got scruples about this for the most part. He's like, that's wrong. That's wrong to do. To even do it. then once he gets involved, he just can't help himself.
Kind of nice episode for everyone's characters. People really have real things. E drops out of the movie to make sure his friend can do it. You don't want to make money off of the death of one of the greatest Jewish pitchers, by the way. Greatest pitchers of all time. And Ari wants to save Lloyd's relationship.
I feel E is wrong to drop out. I think it's your job to do what you're supposed to do.
I think E,
just because you don't get along,
is a little bitch.
Yeah, you're being a little bitchy about it.
Being a little bitch.
I don't think he's being a bitch at all.
You're holding a grudge.
He is going, I don't like this movie, and he turns out he's right.
No, but he's saying, I don't like this guy. He's making it about, himself. Like, me. I don't want to work with him. I don't want to get abused. I don't want to do this and that.
Yeah, but what he really said is, I don't think he's going to make a good movie. Yeah, I think he's peaked, and I think you should listen to me.
That's a good point, Doug, and it turns out that you were right.
Yeah.
Walk in the Clouds.
The movie sucked.
Medine sucks, and Walk in the Clouds.
Probably would suck even worse.
Right, and we don't even know, because we have no idea what happens in our own show. We don't know how these guys. I know they don't do a Walk in the Clouds.
He's peaked. His best is behind him.
I'll tell you, the anticlimactic thing is, because we've been talking for 3 weeks, like, who leaked the trailer, and we really didn't make much of a big deal of it. But the
I talk about being anticlimactic. Climactic is right. It's like nobody. The editor leaked the trailer because he had a fight with his girlfriend.
But it also ended up on some porn site.
Cumfiesta.com.
Yeah, that's got to be a site Dylan used to frequent.
That's a great site.
So it was not E that leaked the trailer, but he had a fight with his editor. And the editor was mad at his girlfriend. That was kind of a weird.
But we also, with Walsh, you never know what's really like, what's true and what's not true. But I think the main point is the job of a manager in Hollywood is to make sure his client does the right projects, and he has been right, and he still gets no credit.
Yeah, but
I think
making
it's the skin
it, he's making it. He's making it about himself.
It's too light.
He's making it about himself.
No, because you were ignored on every other thing about the actual project. I don't think it's a good movie. I don't like this project, and I think he's peaked. So, I mean, once you get past that, then I think you said, I would like to check out, and you guys.
And I'm going
to
work on your next one.
Yeah,
I'm going to be your manager. I'm going to work on your next one.
I'm going to go save your career after this fucks it up. I think it's the right move.
And we have no idea how this ends with a Walk in the Clouds.
I have no idea, but I'm getting a sore throat, and Sarah's going to kill me that I'm even near college. Oh,
thank God I'm so far from him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going. Do you realize I'm having a baby in the next 10 days? Right?
Is it 10 days?
Before December 1st.
Wow.
And I don't even have a name yet. Could you guys at least weigh in on a consideration?
Well, Kevin. You got two Kevins here.
Kevin, I know a girl named Kevin.
It could be named after both of us.
I know a very pretty girl named Kevin. So.
What?
Yeah.
There's no girl named
Kevin. She's very pretty, New Orleans. Ooh. Tyler Thompson's friend. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a weird one.
I would be weird if he did that. It'd be weird if he did that.
Oh, that'd be crazy if I was walking in here. Kevin. Kevina. I want you to meet Kevin and Kevin.
Kevin and Kevin. Yeah. Kevin.
Do you have any suggestions at all?
No, but Doug is thinking about Khaleesi. What do you think of that?
Really?
Dylan doesn't even.
Khaleesi.
You never watched Game of Thrones, right?
No.
Yeah. So you don't.
Well,
even
I caught a couple episodes.
She was the queen and the dragons in Game of Thrones.
So. The blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's got some. It's got some.
Good nickname.
Derivatives. Good derivatives. You got Khaleesi.
I don't know if derivative is the right word. Derivative is.
Different.
Nicknames. But nicknames. Callie.
Why don't you go with Ellen? Ellen.
Have you thought about that?
I've heard it.
I mean, is that the only name on the list?
No, I have a couple of names on
what
the
list.
What
else you got?
Brooklyn. Brooklyn Ellen. Brooklyn Dylan. I always thought that would be good for Dylan.
I like
Brooklyn
Dylan. I actually like the name Brooklyn, but it doesn't work for
you.
Me.
Could go Brooke and then Lynn.
I'm looking. I've got some names. I personally.
So you're ready to go come out with the Khaleesi, but you're sitting on the other names?
No, I'm not sitting. I like Florence. My mother's middle name. It's a little old school.
That is old fashioned, dude.
I love that name, though.
Flo.
I mean, what? Yeah, so she's Flo.
Sarah does not like Flo.
Yeah. Oh, Dave is.
I'm with her on that.
Dave's got something.
I don't think
Sandy Koufax is still alive.
Yeah, of course he is.
Great
Dave,
research,
that was
Dave.
A half hour.
Dave, I mean, you did it like there's no internet. It's almost like you went to the fucking library and had to, like, go into books. I mean,
right. He literally. Went,
how about Sandy?
What did you go to the encyclopedia?
There you go.
Sandy Ellen. Sandy, baby.
What do you think of that?
I sit and wonder why.
Dylan should be in the remake of Grease.
This holiday season, the best deal in wireless can only be found at Mint Mobile. Right now, when you switch to Mint Mobile and buy any 3-month plan, you'll get another 3 months for free. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order and activate from home with eSIM while saving tons on phone plans starting at just $15 a month. I've been using Mint Mobile long before this holiday deal, and I have to say it's the perfect time to switch. Mint Mobile's best offer of the year is here. For a limited time, buy any 3-month plan and get 3 months free. By going online only with eSIM and eliminating the traditional costs of retail, Mint Mobile passes significant savings onto you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily and effortlessly with eSIM. Or if you need a new device for a limited time, get 6 months of free service when you buy a select device and plan. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. For a limited time, buy any three-month Mint Mobile plan and get 3 months free by going to mintmobile.com/victory. That's mintmobile.com/victory. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/victory.
You got to be careful about the, you know, because what will happen is you'll ask and then you'll get opinions and then you'll feel weird. When
no, I don't really care what anybody's opinions is. Right. But I'd like to hear somebody throw some out. The flow thing, because most people
are going
to
go, no way, don't do flow. And then you name flow, then you feel bad.
Yeah, but the flow thing I get, because flow makes you think of, a menstrual cycle or a period or
I was thinking about
on the Alice show in the 70s.
That insurance commercial, which I won't say, but.
Yeah, that too.
That flow
I don't
too.
Love the nickname flow. I'm not going to lie. I love the name Florence. I love the city of Florence, but I'm not going to win anyway. So,
I'm thinking hard. That could be
How about
tricky.
Lily?
I love Lily, but Sarah has a cat named Lily, so that would be weird.
How about Leslie?
Leslie's a great name.
It's funny though. When you start going through names, you start thinking about people that you're like,
yeah, I hate that person.
I like flower names. God, Rose.
Rose's Maya's middle name is Rose, and my grandmother's name. Yeah, yeah. And I love my mother's first name, June. I think that's a beautiful name.
That is. I like June.
Jews don't really go with the exact name, and if my daughter was named the same name as my mother, who sadly passed away 10 years ago, it'd be a little weird for me. June Ellen is like my mother.
It's a cool name, though.
Yeah, I do love the name June.
It's got you got to string it together and rhyme it together. I'm saying June Ellen's got a good ring to it.
Yeah, I think. Why would that be? I think that's a great idea. It's like honors your dad, right?
Yeah. I love the name June. I wonder what I wonder what my father would think. I'd have to ask him. But that you get the opinion on, because I wanted to name Maya, which I love Maya's name.
I wanted
to name Maya Stevie because I love Stevie Nicks, and I got talked out of it, and we went with Maya. Now I would still go with Stevie, but Maya thinks it would be weird that I almost named her Stevie. You don't really seem sold on Stevie anyway, but I cool. love it. For I, like I think it. It's a cool girl's name.
Yeah. I like boys' name for girls.
Yes. You like boys.
All right. I just want you guys to give me one suggestion right. real, and that's it. And then we can move
okay.
on back to the episode.
All right. Give us some time.
I like
on
Lily.
That,
who brought up Lily?
I love Lily.
I have a cat named Lily.
So what?
Yes, what do you mean, so
cat's
what?
Cat's going to be dead. How old is the cat? How old is the cat?
The cat is not going to ever be dead. What kind of animal what are you? Jesus. The cat is going to live.
The cat's an animal.
I am already working on cloning that cat.
The cat does not count.
Stop it. No, I can't name the cat the same name. And by the way, Sarah came with a cat named Luke, and I have a son named Luke. It would be, they'd be like, Luke, Lily, get cats screaming, kids crying. I mean, it's all. So.
All right, listen, in the spirit.
All right, give me some time on that. Let me think about that.
In the spirit the Sandy Koufax jersey. Do you guys have any good sports memorabilia?
Yeah, I have Russell Wilson's jersey. I threw it in the trash.
Well, I remember my brother Matt came home from doing a movie, and we were out in the street throwing the ball around. And he's like, oh, yeah, over here. And we threw it to Matt, and he looks at it. It's a signed Willie Mays baseball, and we're throwing. It's got scuff marks all over it.
Probably worth a million bucks.
I mean, we all love Willie Mays. We're huge Willie Mays fans, but it was the only ball we had.
That's funny.
Wow, what was something like? Well, probably worth a few grand, probably a couple grand.
It depends,
right?
What it's authenticated at, from what game, whatever. I mean, it's probably not worth. I have a David Deal signed New York Giants helmet. That's I love that.
That's cool.
Jerry and I went to, by the way, I suckered Jerry into this thing years ago. I felt so bad for him. We went to a thing. It's Kevin Steiner Sports. Isn't that in New Rochelle? Is that near New
York?
Yeah,
they were. They were there. I don't know if they still are, but yeah.
So the guys at Steiner Sports invited us to this kind of meet and greet thing. And then they were going to let us into their warehouse to pick out some stuff. And Jerry and I went to this thing and we got buried, pictures. And it was a tough afternoon.
It wasn't really worth what you got.
Oh man. We were like, oh man, we gotta go into that warehouse and do some damage. So we go into the Steiner Sports warehouse. We got some Yankee seats, from the old Yankee Stadium. Yeah, we got some stuff. Cool. And one of the things that we got, and I couldn't even guess what it's worth, but it's a picture of Mariano Rivera coming out of the bullpen, that famous shot from behind him, and all 42 playoff saves are handwritten date, score by Mariano.
Wow.
And it's there's two of them. Jerry and I have them. I don't
That's
know
cool. That's
what
cool.
that could be worth, but yeah. I don't really.
So what was the deal? You get a couple things, get like, one or two.
Yeah, like pick out a couple things. Yeah. You know, we tried. I got some Islander stuff, but I don't know. Sports memorabilia is, I mean, it can go hot and cold, right?
By the way, yeah, but it's gone hot.
I got a great Rolling Stones poster that's awesome, signed by all four guys.
Not really sports, really cool. But authenticated stuff that people want. You know, it's worth a lot. That stuff's gone nuts.
What do you have? You just have jerseys.
Charlie Watts died, so they're not making any more of those.
Who's Charlie Watts?
The drummer of the Stones, bro.
I didn't know that. When did he die?
Last year. Maybe the year before.
Maybe 2 years.
I saw Mick Jagger on Friday night. He's still going, bro.
You saw him live?
Oh, no way. I saw him live. I saw him at a party dancing.
Did you hang out with
him?
No way. Hang out with him? What am I going to say to him? Hey, what's up, bro?
He was doing the chicken
dance. He was doing his dance.
You could have said, hey, Mick, who the fuck is Charlie Watts?
I would have said, hey, Mick, what's up, bro?
He would have, he probably would have appreciated it from you, Dylan, but I don't know. What am I going to say to Mick Jagger? Like, yo, what's up, man?
I'll tell you, a selfie
from Mick Jagger?
I have zero idea whether Mick Jagger's ever seen the show, but since we were talking about the Yankees, I mean, when Jerry and I went to a Yankees party where Roger Clemens was doing karaoke.
Love Roger Clemens, but he's not Mick Jagger.
No, but I'm saying, and Jorge Posada sees Jerry and someone goes, this is Jerry. And Jorge Posada was literally like, do not tell me what happens on the episode this week because he liked to watch it live. That's pretty cool stuff.
I did fly from New York to L.A. on the plane with Mick Jagger in first class. He's got a huge head. His head is, it's like a horse.
Big head, big star.
But I did not say hi, so I.
So he wasn't.
But it was before Entourage. I probably would have done it post Entourage.
Dylan, I really thought you were going. I saw him. He was like, "Yo, I love the show." I mean,
yeah, I was post on. It was
before really a
Entourage.
Depressing anticlimactic story. Kind of.
I just wanted to bring up trailer the size of his head.
So you, but really you were,
big?
Were you?
Doesn't he have a big head?
Were you starstruck by Mick Jagger? I was.
Oh, big time.
I was taken aback by his vitality. The right word. Is that the right word? He just looked like one of the youngest people in the room.
So, by the way, Connolly is not really letting us in. Why were you with Mick Jagger?
I was at a party, and he was at a party dancing.
What party?
It was a birthday party that he was at.
Who else was there? Are there good people there?
Yeah, a lot of people there, but Mick Jagger is...
We didn't get the call, Doug.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger,
as usual.
Yeah, no, he didn't care.
Mick Jagger is in a league of his own, right? I mean, like, there's a lot of people there. Well, you know what I'll say? It was Leo's birthday party. On Friday night.
There you go.
Okay. Right, there you go.
No,
right.
I didn't get the call. Did Stock Tip get
the call? No, nobody got the call. Nobody got the call. But
good,
you know,
party?
It's like, yeah, but it's like LeBron. It's all these people, but
LeBron was there?
All these people, crazy people. But then you go, Brad Pitt was there. Everybody was there. But you go, holy fuck, all eyes on Mick Jagger.
Really?
You had to see it. I can't even explain it. Like, you're panning the crowd, and there's all these, Sean Penn, all these people, and Mick Jagger. On the dance floor, doing, Kev, you're right, what is that?
I call it the chicken dance.
He was doing that. That was it. Somebody wrote on the group chat, I will never, forever it will be ingrained in my memory watching Mick Jagger dance to These Hoes Ain't Loyal on the dance floor. You know that song? Yeah. These Hoes Ain't Loyal. I mean, it was pretty wild. He just seemed bigger than everybody else. I can't really explain it.
Wow.
Everybody was pretty starstruck.
I wonder how, if you felt smaller than everyone else. I mean,
I was at least invited, dickhead.
We didn't get the invite.
Yeah, no, I did not. I am happy to welcome an amazing new sponsor of the show. I am talking about Sheath Underwear. Have you or your friends had trouble finding comfortable underwear? Underwear that is focused on your comfort with no chafing, no sticking, no drama, Kevin Dillon, and designed so that everything fits exactly where it should. If you know what I mean. If yes, then you have to try Sheath Underwear. It all starts with Sheath's dual pouch system, a concept that was developed by the company's founder after enduring a summer in Iraq, day after day, triple digit heat, and unbearable chafing and discomfort. Founder and CEO Robert Patton felt there had to be a better way, and now there is. When I first saw it, I thought, this is genius. My friends tell me all you do is put them on and gravity handles the rest. How about that, Dylan? The dual pouch comfortably cradles you just like a hammock for your family jewels. And don't forget to check out our newest additions, the Bamboo 5 and the Mesh Boxer Brief. It's a whole new world of comfort and performance, and Sheath Underwear is all about supporting shows like ours and supporting free speech. So make sure to give Sheath Underwear a try. Go to sheathunderwear.com now and use the promo code VICTORY to receive 20% off today. That's sheathunderwear.com today and use the promo code VICTORY for 20% off. I just got to tell you, Kevin Connolly just handed me 4 brand new pairs of Sheath underwear. I am going to win some pickleball tournaments with no chafing, and I think that's pretty exciting. So add some Sheath to your collection for added support, mobility. What else do they add, Scotty? Performance and a pouch for the family jewels.
I don't really have any.
No, Doug's, no, that's cool, though.
By the way,
cool.
You see Doug's rushing at. Doug's trying to shut down
he's
this
episode. He's got pickleball.
And then it comes out that he's going to a pickleball game. You're acting like you're going to a Lamaze
class.
Yeah, I
had to go to the bathroom. He's like, oh, my God, I gotta play pickleball.
I just drove an hour and a half to get here.
Dylan, we're podcasting. We're not
you
going
You guys anywhere. Know I'm never late for anything. And just like that, I have an appointment to make. That's why I said I'm available.
Where is the pickleball game?
Santa Monica. And these are two of the top guys in the country I'm lucky enough to get to play with.
So, I mean, you leave here at 1 o'clock. You leave here at 5 minutes.
I don't like to leave.
You're going to be 15. You can be 15 minutes.
I don't like to leave anybody waiting. That's why I have brought every show on production in on budget on time. And that's who I am. You know, some people are late all the time. Doesn't make them bad people.
Oh, why are you looking at me, bro? I've been pretty solid lately.
You've been great. But by the way, you guys have DB Sweeney going to do another episode.
We got DB.
Yeah. Well, Dylan and I are not done with this episode, so you can.
I'm going to check out. I'm going to say goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm going to say goodbye.
Dylan, off with you now.
You and I'm going to keep it rolling.
I would like you guys to both come up with a name for me, and I love you both.
I love this. This is crazy. He's walking out mid episode. I love it.
What are you talking? You just walked out of Ramble on mid episode. What are you talking about?
That's not. But I'm not theoretically, technically on that show. But you
next episode, we'll come up.
Dylan and I are going to sit here and have a little chat.
Anyway, I'll be back next week.
Ooh, look at this. We're still going.
Later, Dougie.
We're still going.
Dylan. Later, guys.
All right. Wow. Look at this. He's leaving.
Well, how
Doug,
dare
don't forget
you?
Your jacket. Don't forget your jacket. Your weird jacket. Your weird bubble
we
jacket.
We should have had him walk back in, come back for the jacket. Would have been fun.
Had him leave. We just leave with his keys. All right. Close the door.
Later, Dougie.
See this? You know what we need to press Doug on? Ramble on.
Yeah. I've been... I ask every time, and he's like, I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything. So right.
We don't get any updates.
Yeah, I mean, it was so good. It's hard to imagine that, you know,
somebody's not going to grab it.
Wouldn't jump all over that.
Yeah, and I don't think we really get, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like we're necessarily, I think when it started, there was like a big communication circle, and then I think they had to tighten up.
I don't think we're hearing everything.
We're not in the circle of trust. We're out of the circle of trust.
Yes.
Right. But I think we're entitled to a little bit.
I'd like to hear a little more than, I don't know. That Doug tells me, I said, what's going on with Ramble Out? He's like, I don't know. Come on. You know something.
He's got to know something.
He knows something we don't know.
Right. I mean, these guys spent pretty good money.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's money, so we'll see.
You know what? I wish you'd talk to Ted about it. Might get more information.
Yeah, but
Ted is the other producer.
The other thing, Ted is the financier. But the other thing, you know, you have to think is like, if there's something to know, we would know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, yeah, if it was picked up, we would know about it.
Right.
I'm starting to worry, to be honest with you. It's a little concerning.
Right.
It should have, I don't know how many people they showed it to.
Right. Here's the thing.
If it's a small group, then that makes sense. Then it's going slow. But
well, we did this outside the system. That's for sure.
Yeah. And maybe people don't like that.
Right. And it's, you know, people like to have their fingers in the pot from the beginning.
They want to say they created it.
Casting. Script notes, whatever
it is. It's a network or it's an HBO. Or
right.
It's
I could see HBO going like, you guys already did it, right?
I feel like Netflix does buy stuff like that, though.
It's
got to
be somebody that's going to go rogue.
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody that's going to go rogue. All right, so while we're wrapping up season 4, episode 6, the Wee Ho Ho, let's talk a little bit about the directors. We talk about Mylod.
He's so much better visually, and I feel like he got better performances out of everyone, too.
Yeah, Mylod and Julian.
He knew how to say the right thing, and Julian as well.
Julian Farino.
Yeah.
And isn't it ironic that our two best directors were English?
Yeah.
Right? It's an interesting thing because they're not, maybe they had a different perspective because they were sort of on the outside of it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting,
they
right?
They still knew how to get that out of us.
By the way, some great directors.
I can't wait.
Great.
At this stage, you have not directed an episode yet.
Not yet.
You were great, too. I loved you as a director because you knew how to get a lot out of me.
It's different because when an actor directs a show, then it becomes a little bit like, oh, mom and dad are out of town, right? There's something exciting about like...
Well, what was great is you would go, hey, I know this probably might not make the cut, but take a chance on this.
Right.
And I would trust you.
Right,
so
right.
I know if it sucks, you know. And I would do like goofy things. I'd do something different.
Do you, with a director nowadays, are you guarded with directors
I mean,
you gotta earn your trust?
If I trust them, I'll give them anything.
Right.
If I don't trust them, I'm just gonna do it my way.
What's up, everybody? I'm hosting a new podcast, No Mercy, with Stephen A. Smith. That's No, spelled K-N-O-W, Mercy. Listen as I pull back the curtain on all things beyond the world of sports. My No Mercy podcast will be 3 new episodes every week, making this podcast a great one to add to your weekly routine. On No Mercy, I'll be interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. I'll be sharing my thoughts on social issues, politics, and beyond. The goal is to keep an open dialogue, of course. I want to spark your curiosity and give you answers from a different perspective. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion on breaking news and entertainment stories that'll leave you motivated and informed. Don't worry, I'll always offer my comments about what's going on in the sports world, too. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. A presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
But what if you don't know him, right? So if like you're doing one of these movies where you're shooting it in 15 days, whatever the thing is, and yeah, he wants you to do something, you're like, I don't think so, bro. You got to earn the trust. Like,
yeah, I mean, if you know if it's something that's going to work or not. If they want you to do something dumb, sometimes you lose it right away. You're like, right, all right, this guy's already, he's already jumped the shark, you know?
Right, right. Jumped the shark.
Yeah, the old Fonzie.
Right. Do you know, ever hear the quote from, just so everybody knows, jumping the shark? Entourage is accused of jumping the shark, which is crazy.
It was the happy days when Fonzie jumps the shark. They said, you went too far with that. That was right. Too far. Once you're jumping sharks, the
like
show's
on primetime television, he jumps a shark on water skis in his leather jacket. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was
I never saw the episode. Oh, dude, so I don't even know.
By the way, if you watch the clip, maybe Dave can pull it up sometime this century. But when you watch, there was a quote, and I don't know if it's from Ron Howard or maybe from Henry Winkler, and it said, we were still the number one show on TV for 3 years after we jumped the show.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, so it's an expression. Yeah. It's an expression.
It sounds pretty cool to me. Right. I mean, it sounds like a good idea, but
when did you think, if not jump the shark, but I know you had a problem, but was it by like season 7 where you were like, all right, what are we doing here?
I didn't love the Vince on doing cocaine, thing. You know, right, with porn stars and all right, that. I thought it was kind of, it got too serious. I liked it funny, you know? Right.
Well, that's the thing. It's a comedy. It's the famous Chuck Liddell story. He came up to me and he's like, listen, man, I got enough of my own problems. I like to watch Entourage to put me in a good mood on Sunday night.
Wow,
I don't need to see Vince having the same problems that I have. Basically, in my
that's
what he said to me. Yeah. But, you know, in Doug's defense or whatever, like, you know, one of the criticisms was like, okay, so these guys get the movie. It doesn't work out.
Everything works out so well.
Right. Yeah. So they try to do the dark season.
You know, I can't wait to see that episode, that whole season, because I kind of forgot it. So
no idea, right?
Yeah. I can't remember.
We don't know what season 5.
That was 7, right?
That's season 7. But season 5, season 6, we don't know.
I have no idea.
We're not even halfway through the show yet, and we have no idea.
Isn't that crazy?
What's going on? We don't know.
Yeah.
So, all right. We're going to do a second episode. D.B. Sweeney, buddy.
D.B. Sweeney.
D.B. Sweeney.
You see him here yet or
no? He'll, okay. But, give me a little background on you and D.B. Sweeney.
We go way back, man.
We go way back.
You know, 35 years or something.
D.B. Sweeney, Long Island guy.
Long Island guy.
Long Island guy.
Yeah.
Hockey guy.
Big hockey guy.
Big hockey guy.
Yeah, we were hanging out with Chris Chelios Saturday.
So he went, was he at the tournament this year? Was he at the Chelios tournament this
year? Yes, he's always there.
Right.
Except he's a Chicago guy.
The year that I went.
The one time he went, he was in there.
He was in L.A.
He was working, yeah.
So, all right.
Great guy, great guy.
He's a great guy. So we're going to come back. Season 4, episode 6, the Wee Ho Ho, Lloyd Cheats. I don't know, man. It was interesting episode kind of.
I mean,
out
Jeremy
there.
Was really great in that episode. That was one of his best.
By the way, Jeremy is.
He's always great, but he was really good.
Say what you want. He had a lot on the fastball.
Yeah.
He had a lot on the fastball in this.
He was 103.
Yeah. I think the E and Vince storyline was on track. I think the drama turtle, you know, they do those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But, you know, right. I don't see Ari Emanuel showing up at the Beverly Center Foot Locker looking for
no,
his assistant.
But he made it work, though.
Yeah, Piven is, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he won an Emmy.
No
this,
doubt.
This season. Yeah. So.
We did not.
We did not win Emmys for this episode. All right. That's it.
All right.
Victory of the podcast.
Victory.